Welcome to the Bruce Siski Show. Follow the Bruce Siski Show on Twitter to interact anytime. Got something on your mind? You can text Bruce during the show by using the short code 84454. You're listening to the Bruce Siski Show on 610 and FM 103.9 KDAL.
10:12, it's a Thursday morning on the 21st of March, 2024. Bruce Siski Show on KDAL. Happy start of the NCAA basketball tournament for all who celebrate. Always a fun day. These first couple of days of the tournament with all the games happening, 16 games today, and then 16 more for the men, 16 for the women as well tomorrow, 16 more women's games on Saturday. As we get there down to 16 in both these tourneys by the end of the day on Monday. Pat Micheletti is going to join us a little bit. We'll talk some hockey with him because we're going to get into the NCAA hockey tournament coming up here with the selections announced on Sunday night. Things are taking some kind of shape, but we'll talk about some of the bubble possibilities for the NCHC. The best league in college hockey is going to get either four, five, or six teams in the NCAA tournament, depending on what happens this weekend at the Frozen Faceoff in St. Paul, plus the other conference tournaments that are wrapping up all over the country here this weekend. Pat's going to be in Bemidji tomorrow night at a sold-out Sanford Center for the CCHA Mason Cup Championship game between Michigan Tech and Bemidji State. That'll be a fun one tomorrow night, 7 o'clock in Bemidji with Pat and Ben Holden on the call via Flow Hockey. We'll talk to Pat about that and some wild stuff as well after that no-show last night. And I know there are some goofy goals, some weird bounces, things that happen sometimes in this sport, but you don't get to lament poor bounces at this point in the season when you know you have to win games. That's not how this works. You can lament poor bounces in October when you've got 74 games left to play or whatever the number ends up being. But when you're down to 12, you can't afford to lament bounces, especially when you know you're playing the team that you're chasing directly next Saturday in St. Paul in Vegas. The problem is that between now and then, Vegas plays four games and you play one. That's it. Between now and next Thursday, I should say, the Wild play one game and Vegas plays four. So if you're the Wild, you can ill afford to squander any opportunity to get points as they did last night in basically getting thumped by the Kings 6-0. Unacceptable loss. We'll talk about that with Pat in a little bit. Transfer portal news, if you've not heard, I know Matt Wellens, our friend from the Duluth News Tribune, had this. It's been out there from a number of different outlets that have access to the transfer portal, which, for those that don't know, it's supposed to be not secret, but it's not public. Like, you and I can't go log into the transfer portal to see who's in it. That's not how it works. But there are some people who have been able to gain access to the information when people go into the portal, they find out. And that's how we find out that players, and it's the same in every sport. That's how these reporters are able to find out. However they do, they do. And Blake Biondi from the UMD Men is in the portal. The portal does not open for all men's hockey undergrads until next weekend. I think it's 7 days after the championship selections, so next Sunday the portal opens up for all undergrads, but it is open right now for graduates, and then other those that are experiencing coaching changes can go in the portal, which is obviously not happening at UMD, but Blake Biondi, who will be a graduate forward next year, has gone to the portal, which indicates he is done as a Bulldog. 119 games in 4 years, 30 goals, 58 points for Biondi. The big year for him was his sophomore campaign, 17 goals, 28 points, and just never was able to duplicate that success. Last year got cut short after 17 games. He had season-ending surgery on both shoulders. Returned this season, was mostly healthy, but missed some time down the stretch thanks to an upper body injury. Finished with 8 goals and 19 points. Had an assist in Saturday's season-ending loss to Denver. An assist on the last goal the Bulldogs scored. Kyle Benton's got that with 2:04 left. Got the Bulldogs to within 3-2, but then Denver tacked on a couple empty netters to clinch that game. a large and talented class of players already signed for next year. It does not seem that UMD is going to return any of its fourth-year seniors that are eligible to come back for a fifth. The other two are Darian Goetz on the blue line and Zach Stasekull in net. The Bulldogs have two goalies signed for next year, and they've got Matthew Thiessen departing as a fifth year. Zach Sandy's scheduled to return after a sophomore year, saw him make his Bulldog debut. So it would stand to reason that Stasekull's probably not coming back. He's going to move on, and the blue line is pretty crowded going into next year with what's coming in, what's coming back. I don't know that Darian Goetz is going to return. We'll find out. I think we're going to get Scott Sandlin for a postseason press conference probably week after next. So we'll learn more then, but as of now, it looks like Blake Biondi is moving on, and we tip the cap and wish him the best. You know, hopefully he's able to – I mentioned this after the game Saturday. Obviously, we don't know at that point, you know, what the plans are. I've been very clear about that. That, you know, since the fifth year became a thing, we've left it up to the school, to the program, to decide when to announce who's coming back and who's not. On the men's side, at least. The women, it's been made very clear who's coming back next year, in Clara Van Weer and Anita Jobe-Smith and Olivia Wallin. They're all going to return for a fifth year. You could tell by who they honored on Senior Day, but the men don't do it that way. On Senior Day, the seniors are honored, and they decide after the season who's going to come back and who's not. And I said it about Blake then. You know, wherever he ends up, I hope he finds happiness and success. And it doesn't matter where it is. And whatever works for him, whatever the best fit is for him, I hope he's able to find it. Because, you know, I've been very clear about this. Really, going back to when the portal became a thing, when transfer, you know, the one-time transfer rule went into effect, which is, it's been a few years now, that was pre-COVID, and the portal's really become a thing since COVID. I've been consistent with this, and I'm going to say it again. You know, the majority of the players that you see Fridays and Saturdays playing for the Bulldogs are not going to get a significant opportunity to play pro hockey. They might get a run in the ECHL. They might get to go to Europe. But they're not. More often than not, the guys you see are not going to play significant games in the AHL, and they're never going to play in the NHL. That's just the way it is, and that's okay. Doesn't mean they're not good hockey players. Sometimes you just can't find the right fit, the right opportunity, whatever. But regardless, the reality is that they need to maximize their experience when they're in college. And if that means that they need to be, you know, be able to move on from UMD and try something else, that's okay. Trust me, there are plenty of guys that want to be here. And I'm not even saying these guys don't want to be here, but there's a point in time where you think, you know, the fit's not right here. You know, the system's not right, the fit's not right. I can go over here, it's a better fit. It's a system that maybe is it better suits how I play the game. When you're asking these guys to make adult decisions at 16 and 17 years old, they're not always going to hit. They're not always going to take everything into account that's going to impact them in their hockey career, in their life. Sometimes moving on is the best thing, and that's okay. I'm not going to wish ill will on somebody who decides they want to move on. You tip the cap, and you appreciate what they did, and you wish nothing but the best for them. That, to me, it's not just a high road thing. It's the right thing to do. Like, I don't know. I said the same thing last year when Isaac Howard left. I'm not going to wish ill will on a 19-year-old kid. It's not productive, for one. It doesn't solve anything. It doesn't fix anything. You hope that he's able to find happiness and success. Because at the end of the day, these are kids. Yes, they're adults. They're kids. Trust me. I've got a 22-year-old. He's still a kid. In a lot of ways, he's still a kid. They announced top 10 for the Hobie yesterday as well. A couple of NCHC forwards. Jackson Blake from North Dakota. Jack Devine from Denver. Minnesota State Mankato forward. Sam Morton, the CCHA Player of the Year. Kyle McClellan from Wisconsin, the Big Ten Goalie of the Year. And everybody else from out east. It was one of those years. Macklin Celebrini, Lane Hudson from Boston University, Cutter Gauthier, and Will Smith from Boston College, Colin Graff from Quinnipiac, and Liam McClinsky from Holy Cross. So you're 10. They will knock that down from 10 to 3 and announce the Hobie hat trick on April the 4th. And then the Hobie Baker Award winner to be announced at the annual ceremony, which is conducted in conjunction with the NCAA Frozen Four. They'll have that ceremony on Friday, April 12th at 5 p.m. in St. Paul, the site of this year's Frozen Four, down at Xcel Energy Center. Pat Micheletti joins a little bit. We'll talk some hockey with him. Get you ready for conference championship weekend. Talk some Wild as well. 10:22, Bruce Siski Show, Thursday morning edition, 610, 103.9 KDAL.
This is the Golden Gopher Daily Update. I'm Mike Grimm. We'll talk Minnesota football after this.
Homeowners, you've got an excavation project on the mind and you can't wait to get started on it. At Gopher State, one call, we get it. It can be tempting to dig in, but as a homeowner, you need to ensure your site meets government standards. Click or call before you dig and take advantage of our easy-to-use internet ticketing system. Map out your work site and wait just 48 hours after calling to start your project. It's easy, it's smart, and it's the law. Stay safe this summer and call Gopher State, one call. Dial 811, proud sponsor of Gopher Athletics.
Today is opening day for the Golden Gopher football team as it relates to spring practice. Head coach PJ Fleck says he's excited about having new quarterback Max Brosmer in the fold and kicking into spring practice mode this week.
You start with the intangibles. I mean, they're through the roof. If you look at the quarterbacks we've had a lot of success with, whether Western Michigan or Minnesota, the intangibles go through the roof. And that's the first thing that you see when you meet him. I think any successful quarterback has to have that piece. That can't be all of it because you got to have some skill and some talent and all that other stuff. But the intangible. You feel like he's already been here for 30 years. I've never seen a person walk into a situation, maybe probably more uncomfortable of a situation because you're the new guy, and connect as many people as quickly as he has. You're talking about a guy who, you know, most people spring break, you hear Panama City, you hear, you know, Miami, you hear all these things. Nope. He took a bunch of players back with him and they worked out during spring break. You know, that's leadership. He's on a mission. He knows what he wants. Him even coming here, getting all of his goals and objectives of what he wanted out of looking for a program. I think this place fit, not just Minnesota, our coaching staff and our culture, but the situation he was walking into.
That's Gopher head coach PJ Fleck. We'll hear even more of his thoughts on his new quarterback in tomorrow's report. For more info on Gopher football, go to gophersports.com. That's the Golden Gopher Daily Update. I'm Mike Grimm.
The Bruce Siski Show.
You don't even know what stupid is. It's about to get all stupid up in here.
On 610 and FM 103.9 KDAO.
10:28. Good to have you along on a Thursday morning. Good luck to Cherry taking on Russell Tyler Ruffton in the opening round of the State Class A Boys Basketball Tournament. That'll be happening at Target Center and is underway at 11 a.m. Good luck to the Tigers. The only local team there, which is really weird. This is one of those years. Teams that just fell just short. But congratulations to Cherry. Hopefully they can carry the flag for us this weekend down at State. We'll talk some hockey. Pat Micheletti on the radio show after a CBS News update. It's 10:29 on KDAL.
The Bruce Siski Show.
That guy's driving me crazy.
You know what's driving me crazy? You not getting the ball in the hole.
This guy sucks.
On 610 and FM 103.9 KDAL.
10:34, Alan Horton, Timberwolves Radio Network. Tomorrow, next week, Matthew Caller, Purple Insider, on a crazy Vikings offseason up to this point. Also, Brandon Warren, Locked On Twins. We will preview opening day for the Minnesota Twins. That is on next Thursday in Kansas City. Our coverage at 2:30 next Thursday from KC here on KDAL. Every pitch, every Twins game, all season long, starting next Thursday. Right here on KDAL. Joining us now, our good friend, the legend from Hibbing, Pat Micheletti. Good morning.
Good morning, Bruce. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
I am. I'm good. I'm busy, as you know, and heading up to Bemidji this afternoon, getting ready for that CCHA final tomorrow night between Bemidji and Michigan Tech, and So it should be a really good game. I'm looking forward to getting up there.
Have you been a frequent visitor to Sanford Center since that place opened?
I've never been there once.
Seriously?
So this will be my first time up there, and I hear it's a beautiful arena, and I'm really happy for my friend Tom Cerutori, who's been there for 23 years behind the bench now, I'm looking forward to getting up there.
Tommy is one of the absolute best. So we were where were we when they beat Minnesota State to win? I can't remember where I was when they beat Minnesota State to win the CCHA regular season championship, and I had to text him. I was so happy for him that they did that. And yeah, you will love this building. It is a tremendous atmosphere. It will be a packed house tomorrow night. They've sold it out. So you and Ben Holder are in for a treat tomorrow night.
Yeah, you know, we look forward to it. And you know, I've had I've seen quite a few CCHA games this year, and you know, the style is different, and you know, it's going to be a grinded out and, you know, hard-nosed game. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Then just because you said that, it's going to end 6-5. You watch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
You never know what kind of personality a game's going to take on, that's for sure. And it's interesting, too, because this is one of those situations where, you know, both these teams know that the winner's moving on and the loser is not. This is an elimination game. This is a one-bid league. In fact, if RIT wins the Atlantic Hockey Championship against AIC on Saturday, the CCHA team will be the number 16 seed in the NCAA tournament, which is, you know, it's one thing to be a one-bid league, but we've seen over the years of Minnesota State, they've had some high seeds out of the old WCHA, now CCHA, but now the CCHA champion will be the 16 seed possibly going into this tournament.
Yeah, and that's more than likely to happen. And, you know, I don't want to call it a down year for the CCHA, but in reality it was. This was a league this year, Bruce, where 1 through 8, the separation in points was not very much. Each team had something that allowed them to win games, on a nightly basis. And so it was really, really tight throughout the whole season. And that's why I expect, another tight one tomorrow night.
Well, and the other thing, too, is, and I think I said this when Bemidji won the McNaughton Cup, I looked at my son because he was with me, I think, for the Friday game in Duluth against Bemidji State, and then I went up on my own on Saturday because the family had stuff going on. And I said, if you'd have told me when I drove home October 21st from Bemidji that team was going to win the McNaughton Cup, I would have had your head examined. I did not see it coming.
Yeah.
I didn't think that. I thought they were going to have a down year, finish mid-pack at best in the CCHA, and get knocked out in the first round of the playoffs and move on. They have some really good young talent, but it didn't look like they were ready to pop yet, and it turns out I was wrong. They popped.
Well, that's the nature of it. You know, you get in a rut it sometimes during the season, and you got to find a way to get yourself out of it. I know at Christmas time they played St. Cloud and got beat 6-1, 7-1, on successive nights. And so I think there was some doubt about where they were going to end up. But then, lo and behold, they're undefeated in their last 11. They caught fire. They learned how to win. They learned their formula, because every team, Bruce, as you know, has a formula that allows them to win games. And if they stick by it, I always think back to the UMD teams 2 years in a row when they won the national title. They all bought into what Scott Sandelin was implementing, and they mastered it to a T. And if you do that, good things are going to happen. You don't have to be, a highly skilled team. You don't have to be, a power play centric team. You just have to do what you do and do it well, and good things can come from it. And they found their way, and they're playing. They deserve to win the McNaughton this year.
Pat Micheletti joining us, NCHC Frozen Faceoff, taking over St. Paul here starting tomorrow night. with the semifinals, Omaha, North Dakota, and St. Cloud State versus Denver in the late game tomorrow. Championship is Saturday. The NCHC, it's an interesting spot this year because they could get four, they could get five, and yes, it is possible that the NCHC gets six teams in the NCAA tournament, depending on what happens this weekend. We don't know for sure yet. We also don't know. St. Cloud State might need the automatic bid. There are ways that St. Cloud State can get in without winning the conference tournament championship. You know, Colorado College might get in. They might not. We'll see what happens after this weekend. This is going to be interesting. Yeah. There's a lot of uncertainty here, Pat, but what we do know is Omaha is in a conference tournament semifinal for the first time since 2001.
That I did not know that, and that blows me away, to be quite honest. And they're a team that you have to watch out for. And listen, Bruce, you and I have talked all year, and today as we talk, I still think that there are 10 to 12 teams that literally could win the national title. I really do. You know, the regions are going to be really, really fun this year because you're going to have four good teams in each region, and you know, upsets can happen. I don't even know if I'd call some of the games that we're going to be seeing next weekend as upsets because college hockey this year, the parity has been off the charts in my opinion. Just, you know, one night a team looks great and the next night you say that team's not going to make it, and so you just don't know. I don't know. You know, the one team that kind of stands out to me right now is Boston College. You know, they're in a groove. They've got loads of talent. But you know what? The asterisk with them is their youth. They've got a lot of young guys. And as you know, when you play in these tournaments, it's difficult to win with all freshmen and sophomores.
What have Boston College and Boston University largely not had any of this year? Adversity.
Injuries.
And that too, but adversity of any kind. They just haven't had a lot. And we've seen this. We saw it with St. Cloud State in 2019. I hate to keep beating that drum for St. Cloud State fans out there, but that was a team that did not face a lot of adversity, and as soon as AIC punched them in the face a couple of times out in Fargo, they didn't know what to do.
Right, and I thought that year St. Cloud had the best team in the country.
Same.
Talent-wise and depth-wise and goaltending. And, you know, that's what can happen. And, you know, don't sell the winner of the CCHA championship short when it comes to the regional tournament because they play a different style. A lot of the team, a number one team in the country, will not have seen that. And those games are sometimes even more difficult.
Pat Micheletti joining us. The other thing that from BC and BU's perspective, and this is pairwise nerdiness, I completely understand that, and I apologize in advance. But right now, North Dakota and Denver are third and fourth in the pairwise.
To me, Bruce, you know, listen, Denver gives up a ton of goals.
Yeah, they do.
North Dakota. Are world beaters one night and then very, very mediocre average the next night. So, you know, when you get down to this one game, what team's going to show?
Right.
And what team can handle the adversity, like you said?
But here's the question. Sorry. Here's the question, the reason I bring this up. Right now, Western Michigan is 13th. Colorado College is 14th. They can't play the 3 and 4 seeds as it stands right now, which means Western Michigan's going to end up playing Boston University and CC's going to draw Boston College. North Dakota and Denver are going to play the 15th and 16th seeds if things stay as they are right, which they probably won't, but if they stay as they are right now because the NCHC can't have conference matchups in round one. So this, to me, it makes it even tougher for those top two teams, because instead of playing 15 and 16, they're playing 13 and 14, which right now are teams out of major conferences that we know are very good.
Right, and I tell you what, if there was a year that I would not want to be on the committee, it's this year, because you have those conferences where they can't play against each other. Are they going to change that up? I mean, there's a lot of a lot of questions going into Sunday, and you know, that's why, you know what, there's 12 teams that are playing this week that you know, that could make a difference in the seedings, the pairings, and all of that once we hit Sunday.
Wisconsin is going to be sitting on 2 weeks off when they play their first round game.
Three, right?
No.
Yeah.
Well, they'll have had two full weeks off, and then they'll be in the third when they play. So my question then, and Mike Hastings has been through a lot of dances before. He's done this. He's gotten teams to the NCAA tournament. I don't think he's ever had to go through this. How do you even handle that as a coach? Like, that's crazy.
I don't know, because you can say all the right things, but hey, listen, you don't play a game, you know, and you ask any of these coaches, they want to play. You know, I know Bob Motzko hated when they won the conference title and had to sit a week, because your timing is off. You know, you try to do things in practice that simulate a game, and you know, it's just not the same until you see another uniform of a different color out there. And I'm very curious to see how Wisconsin comes out in their first round matchup, and their matchup is not going to be an easy one. You know, based on where they are in the pairwise right now.
No, you're looking at Quinnipiac or possibly Maine in round one, depending on how things shake down here. Because that's another thing is as of right now, Minnesota's eighth, Wisconsin's ninth, and Michigan's tenth, and they can't play each other in round one.
Correct.
So
so good luck putting these pairings together. You know, I'm going to be traveling with the Gophers, and you know, I'm trying to figure out, am I going to Sioux Falls? Am I going to Springfield, or am I going to Providence? And I've seen scenarios where they're in all three of those places. So, I'll just have to wait it out.
Just have to wait it out. Yep. It's going to be interesting. And of course, we both know somebody on the committee who I think might be in for.
Yeah, I might give him a call. Yeah, that's a good point.
He might be in for a weekend here coming up.
He's from my hometown, isn't he?
I think he is. Yeah, that's what I've heard at least.
Okay.
He reminds me every once in a while. He reminds me he's from Hibbing. So,
yeah, exactly.
Hey, real quick, the Wild, 12 games to go now. Complete no-show last night against LA. Obviously, a concern here is Jonas Brodin and that injury and how long he'll be out. That's a big blow because he is still Brock. You know, all respect to Brock Faber. Jonas Brodin's their best overall defenseman. And another big game Saturday afternoon against your boy Scotty Perunovic and the St. Louis Blues.
Yeah, and is Scotty Perunovic going to be a free agent or not?
So hang on here. I got a couple of minutes. So the rule is it would normally be 80 games played that he has to get in by the time that he reaches the end of this season. But they changed that because of the COVID year. I want to say the number is 60 that he has to play in by the end of this season. So let's go see here quick where he's at now. I haven't checked in a while, to be honest. I just know that he's been in the lineup an awful lot for the Blues lately. It's as if they realize something. He's at 43 games played as of right now, and I think he has to, for his career, that is. Or no, for the season. I think he's at 62 career games. I think he has to – I forget what the number is now. But it's going to be close. So, yeah, a very good possibility that Scott Perunovic is an unrestricted free agent this summer.
Yeah, and good for him. And if I'm he's battled injuries, and unfortunate injuries. But, I would – I'm a general manager. I'm signing him, period, stop. And the Wild, you know, Bruce, you know, you and I have talked a lot this season, and I am just blown away that they are still only that they're only 3 points out of
that's
a playoff
crazy
spot.
Crazy.
And I give them credit because the majority of the time, 95% of the time, they're working hard, they're trying, you know, but when you have a bunch of AHLers on your team, it's gonna be really difficult. And then, you know, when you lose your top players, you know, again, really, really difficult, but I give them credit for working hard. Last night, obviously, was not a very good performance by them. But you know what? Give them credit for the effort they're putting in.
Yeah, they still work hard. There's no question about it, but the results have not been great. Pat, safe travels up north later today. Enjoy this thing in Bemidji tomorrow night. You and Ben are going to have a great time. I'm sure you'll call a great game on floor hockey as well.
Thank you, Bruce. I appreciate it.
Pat Micheletti joining us again. Flow Hockey, if you've got access, the CCHA Mason Cup Championship is tomorrow night with Ben Holden and Pat Micheletti on the call. Bemidji State at a sold-out building at home to take on Michigan Tech. It should be a raucous atmosphere. These on-campus conference championships, I want to see the NCHC execute it. I had a coach tell me, am I wrong here? I don't want to vote against it. I said, I want to see it first. I understand why there's trepidation. I understand why they're doing it. I want to see it executed first. I know it's kind of the coward's way out, but this time I'm going to do it. 10:50, wrap it up in a moment. Bruce Siski Show. Prep update next. 610, 103.9, KDAL.
KDAL at your fingertips.
I'll tell you, these guys have a wonderful stream thing.
Download the free KDAL mobile app.
10:59, back at it tomorrow at 10. Alan Horton, Timberwolves Radio Network with us, previewing tomorrow night's game against Cleveland as the Wolves' homestand continues at Target Center. Coverage tomorrow, 6:45 here on KDAL. Don't forget, we're a week out from opening day. Twins baseball back on KDAL this weekend to wrap up spring training, and then we open for real 1 week from today in Kansas City. Brad's up next with Kenny. Sound off for your Thursday. Have a wonderful one. Thank you for listening, everybody.
This has been the Bruce Siski Show. Hit us up on Twitter at Bruce Siski Show and let us know what you think.
No, yes, no, well, no, I crossed my mind.
Visit KDAL610.com to podcast today's show anytime.
What'd you say?
Listen to shows on demand and download for free. You can also subscribe via Spotify or your favorite podcast app. This has been the Bruce Siski Show. CBS News is up next. For more than 80 years, KDAL 103.9, W28 FB-FM, and 610 KDAL Duluth Superior, a Midwest communication station. KDAL.